Speak to me, warrior!
Ghostly greetings from the oldest city in North America. My name is John Mallard, bringing you the best in East Coast esoterica. You have stumbled upon the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. Hello again out there in paranormal land. John Mallard here with another edition of the Odd to Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. As you guys know, I'm a very busy fellow, and nothing can be more busier than the month of August between camping, going out and seeing people, and working. It's been a very, very busy month, but on with the show, shall we say. As you've probably heard in the intro to the show, we are going to be reliving some childhood memories of mine, perhaps of yours as well, as we talk about synchronicity, the Ultimate Warrior giving his own eulogy on Raw with my very good friend Ryan Williams, a.k.a. Buckmaster Gotch, from Cutting Edge Wrestling. But first, before we get into that, we do have to bring you the paranormal news. Imagine you wake up one day and you feel a little different. Well, a 44-year-old man discovers that he is, indeed, a woman. A married man in China went to a doctor with stomach cramps and was told that he was actually a female. The man, who has been identified as Mr. Chin, underwent a CT scan after complaining of stomach cramps and finding blood in his urine. Of course, this is very concerning. Doctors analyzed the results and discovered that genetically, the 44-year-old was actually a woman and that he had been suffering from period pains. Chen, who had no prior knowledge of his condition, was found to possess a strange combination of both male and female genitalia, including two ovaries, a uterus, and a penis. He was wearing a man's clothes and had short hair, so we didn't think he would be a female at the beginning, said a spokesman for First People's Hospital of Yongkang. It's not unheard of to have organs and whatnot trapped inside our bodies. And this, my friend, is definitely odd to Newfoundland. Hang on tight, because it's about to get weirder. As I sit here and have a conversation with a chip bag, but thank Adam Peddle for sending me this bit of news here. Researchers at MIT are able to successfully recreate conversations by analyzing the vibrations in a bag of potato chips, and use an algorithm to reconstruct the sound waves that cause them. When sound hits an object, it makes distinct vibrations. There's this very subtle signal that's telling you what the sound passing through is, said Abe Davis, a graduate student in the electrical engineering and computer science at MIT, and first author on the paper. The movement is tiny, sometimes as small as thousandths of a pixel on video. It's only when all these signals are averaged, Davis said, that you can extract sound that makes sense. By observing the entire object, you can filter out the noise. The results are certainly impressive and a little scary. In one example shown in the compilation video, a bag of chips is filmed from 15 feet away through a soundproof glass. The reconstructed audio of someone reciting, "Mary had a little lamb," in the same room as the chips isn't crystal clear, but the words are being said are possible to decipher. Now, Newfoundland, let's think about this for a second. Somebody doesn't even have to hear the sound to read what's going on in the room. Now we no longer have to aim a parabolic mic, so to speak, through glass to get somebody's words in. We can actually watch for the vibrations in a room. This is some serious spy tech, man. And above all else, it's definitely odd to Newfoundland. One of the most beloved creatures in Newfoundland is our national treasure, the Noble Puffin. You know, he's been involved with many things here in Newfoundland. Everything from crazy hockey games right up to getting screeched in. Because, you know, if you got to kiss the puffin's butt, they were probably out of cod at the supermarket. But what if I told you there may have been a bird out there who would have eaten this one quite literally for breakfast? Fossilized remains of a previously unknown species of giant penguin have been unearthed and found in Antarctica. The Paleodocytes Klobukowski, or colossal penguin, stood almost 7 feet tall and weighed around 250 pounds. Now, think about that for a second. This is bigger than most men you know. I'm about 6 foot tall and close on 250 pounds. I know, I'm not in shape like I used to be. Good Lord, this thing could probably beat me up. The bird's 37-million-year-old fossilized remains, which include the longest recorded fused ankle foot bone, as well as parts of the animal's wing bone, represent the most complete fossil ever uncovered in the Antarctic. Interestingly, because larger body penguins can hold their breath for longer, the Colossus penguin probably could have stayed underwater for 40 minutes or longer. It boggles the mind to imagine the kinds of huge deep-sea fish this mammoth bird might have been capable of hunting. You know, we are always worried about orcas attacking us, or great white sharks, or maybe even getting stung once or twice by a box jellyfish, but my, am I ever glad I wasn't around 37 million years ago, when I could have been eaten alive by a 250-pound giant colossus penguin. That, my friend, is odd to Newfoundland. With giant penguins out of the way, we're going to have to find a way to defend ourselves, aren't we? Well, let me tell you, a fellow by the name of Phil Allen from Crossfield, Alberta, may just have the solution. A Canadian Forces veteran has taken to Kickstarter to fund his dream of building a giant, get this, kick-ass robot. Phil Allen of Crossfield, Alberta loved robots. Several years ago, the grandfather built his giant killer robot, Patronus, on his property just outside of the town of Crossfield limits. Weighing about 408 kilograms, the Juggernaut series robot, also known as GKR-001, stands 9 feet tall and is a commanding presence to passerbys. The robot, which Allen affectionately refers to as part of the family, has garnered much attention with articles and newspapers across the country. But Allen, a Canadian Forces veteran with welding and construction experience, isn't satisfied with his inaugural project. He is now keen to sink his teeth, so to speak, into the creation of a fully functional robot based on his completed prototype. I went for the hero guy, he said. I see an avatar-like setup where you are hooked up and you drive him around more or less. He could end up actually being pretty cool. He could be up and running in very short order. Allen says his newest project, which he figures will weigh close on 1,633 kilograms, will be capable of bending down and picking up a car. How about that? Now, if built, his new project won't be so cost-effective. In fact, Allen has set his budget at $150,000. It's an amount he doesn't have on hand. So Allen has set out to raise his money with the old-fashioned crowdfunding site Kickstarter. If you're interested in actually seeing robots, then it's right here waiting for you for as little as $1, Allen said. He explained the new robot will be a full-disclosure project, and members will be adopted into the robot public. Allen said he hasn't decided what he will do if the funding doesn't come through, but added he already knows what the unveiling of his functioning giant killer robot will look like. His debut is just like the Zeroid. Punching his way, kicking his way through a brick wall, he is going to be kick-ass, he said. Well, I long for the day that somebody may be able to take one of these gigantic robots, come to Newfoundland, and just stand on the corner of the Outer Ring Road and catch all those poor people who keep going off. And hey, if you're a 9 foot tall giant robot, you may just be the solution to our province's moose problem. And with that, that's the news for the night, and all has definitely been odd to Newfoundland. Now time for tonight's special guest.
Well then, you shut up, Boyer, and let me do the talking. No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe their final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes the blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper in something than larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized by the storytellers, by the loyalty, by the memory of those who honor him and make the running the man did live forever. You are the legend makers of Ultimate Warrior. In the back, I see many potential legends, some of them with warrior spirits, and you will do the same for them. You will decide if they lived with a passion and intensity, so much so that you will tell your stories and you will make them legends as well. I am Ultimate Warrior. You are the Ultimate Warrior fans. And the spirit of Ultimate Warrior will run forever.
The Ultimate Warrior, the newest member of the Hall of Fame.
All right, we're back here now on the Odd the Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast. In the not-so-spooky studio, my friend Ryan Williams, one half of the current Cutting Edge Wrestling Tag Team Champions.
Pleasure.
Good to see you again, my old friend. It's been a while. And who better to have come in and talk to me about a wrestling paranormal event than the current face, in my opinion, of Newfoundland Wrestling right now. Most popular good guy, so to speak. Is that true, Ryan?
I'm not allowed to say that because that gives me ego.
Oh, it gives you ego. So I'm allowed to say whatever I want because I don't wrestle anymore. You are the face right now. It's all good, buddy.
I can't deny it.
Who taught you to be humble anyway? It wasn't anybody from my crew. So, if I was to go out to the ring tomorrow and tell everybody that I could die and that I will probably die and will breathe my last breath, my heart will beat its last beat, and then the next day I died, would you consider that, how should I put this, paranormal?
Yeah, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Like you know what's coming, yeah.
You got it. And that actually happens to us a lot in our lives. It's a little something in the paranormal realm, which I deal with, which is called synchronicity. It's basically a bunch of uncoinciding events, we'll say, that seem to correlate. Even though you know they shouldn't, they do. And I'll give you a great example of how that actually works. Let's say that you are 5 minutes late. You're 5 minutes late for work. Because you had to let your cute little puppy out for a whiz, so to speak, you actually are 5 minutes longer than what it would take you to get into the car than normal. On your way to work, you see up ahead of you, oh, about, say, 5 minutes ahead, a horrendous accident, and somebody got killed. It's safe to say that because your dog had to take a whiz, you, my friend... Well, for starters, your dog's a hero. But in reality, something seemed to have maybe pushed you a certain way in your life, and you avoided the accident. That's an example of what we call synchronicity.
Did you hear about the car crash? It was an accident, drunk driver hit a car down the east end there a month or two ago?
No, never.
My friend worked with me in Canadian Tire's garage, and he was at his friend's house. Mm-hmm. And as they were putting on their sneakers, the dog come up and started playing and biting on his feet. And he spent about an extra 5 minutes just, like legitimately, it's funny how you say that.
So this actually happened.
Like not.
My story I just made up just actually happened.
Yeah, like not, wow. Not months or two ago. And he played with the dog and the next you know, the guy smashed into his car, which smashed into another car, which smashed into a garage.
Wow.
Down the east end. And they checked the guy's car, and a receipt from the liquor store that was bought no more than a half an hour before this happened with a 40 ounce of rum and had a good 2/3 of it drank.
So what you're saying is that these events had to line up and coincide in order for this action to take place.
Yeah.
And, you know, that kind of stuff happens to us every day in our lives. Now, the really interesting part about this is that in the world of esoterica that I delve into, there's also another world just outside the lines in professional wrestling. You know, professional wrestling has a lot of coinciding positions, we'll say, with
the world of Esoterica, mainly because it's on the outside, it's on the fringe, nobody really knows what's going on the inside unless the people who are inside are experiencing it. So wrestling itself is actually a very paranormal subject in a lot of ways. The only difference is everybody knows wrestling is fake, and I laugh when I say that because I myself am having a hard time keeping my neck up right now because I still have injuries from 7 years ago from wrestling with you. When we think about the Warrior, though, and we think about what he accomplished and the dark path he led up until his death, you know, it's very eerie to know that up until a few years before he got inducted to the Hall of Fame, we all know that this guy was a well-known racist, bigot, we'll just say negative entity, so to speak. And it's almost seemed like he got to wrap up things in a neat little package and give back to the fans a little bit and apologize and maybe shake a few of the hands he slapped away over the years before he went to the other side. My question for you, Ryan, is do you actually think that perhaps this was scripted? Did this man actually know he was going to pass away the next day and give his own eulogy?
Anybody that knows the Ultimate Warrior, if you were going to pick one person that would have turned that into a scripted thing, it would have been him.
Yeah.
Right? Like, watching his promos from back when we were kids, like, they were out there, but, like, there was meaning to it. He said 10 gibberish words in a row, but you knew exactly what he was talking about, right? If he knew, and nobody else knew, like, I think that's how good Warrior was, that you could question that with him.
That's right. And you know, it's funny you should mention that, because we all know the Warrior's from parts unknown. And, which is actually a long-running joke in wrestling, you know, we can't figure out a decent gimmick for you, we usually slap that to you. And that's been around for a long time, but it seemed to me like he actually knew where the parts were going to end up. And, you know, Jim Helwig had a way about him in his promos, like you'd mentioned before, that there was always kind of a ring to truth. You know, you look back at some of his character portrayals and stuff like that when he was talking to other characters, and you really see in his promos that he was just all over the place. He was a madman, but yet there's still a little bit of an intelligence there. And it's actually eerie when I think about the promo that he cut the day before he died, because he actually says, Warrior, shut up. Let me do the talking. And, you know, it makes me wonder, could it be that Jim Helwig himself actually told the Warrior to shut up because he finally wanted to say what he wanted to say?
Interesting. He believes. And a lot of stories come by, like, yeah, he was a bigot, yeah, he was a racist, but there was... That could have been the Warrior side to him, because Jim Helwig, until he changed his name to Warrior, he was a motivational speaker, right? So, and like, you watch those videos that he did tearing down Hogan, that hour-long video we put out, that wasn't Jim Helwig, that was the Warrior doing those videos, right? So, he's crazy enough for me to believe that he was two separate entities.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, Jim Helwig may have been the one passing away, but the Warrior knew he was going to live on forever, thus making it, once again, a grand example of synchronicity. And I say that once again because a lot of things had to line up for Warrior to get there on that fateful night. Everybody knew the chances of Warrior ever being involved with WWF, a.k.a. WWE.
Oh,
I guess
yeah.
We'll have to make the jump to E now. You know, it's just unreal the fact, like, how many hoops had to be jumped through in order for this guy to get to where he was going. How many bridges had to be rebuilt, so to speak, in order for him to be on that stage again and to say his farewell that he apparently seemed to know about?
Another example would have been how long was Macho Man and WWE very anti using each other, and then they put him in that game and he does promo for him, and not long after, he goes. Right? So.
You know, another thing, too, an interesting theory I heard, too, you know, we've all heard of the Illuminati, this shadow banker, big bad banker, so to speak, world-controlling organization.
Conspiracies.
The NWO that's in charge of absolutely everything. And the message boards and stuff like that light up everywhere I go, and all I ever see is, this is definitely Illuminati! There's no doubt about it! The big bad bankers! We all know McMahon is one! And I just kind of laugh at that, because, good lord, man.
I'm not going to say McMahon's Illuminati, but... And without a lot of hard proof, I know something's going on. I know there are people pulling strings. I'm not going to call the Illuminati, but I know something's going on. McMahon is powerful, so why wouldn't you believe that he would have some kind of connection into something like that?
It's interesting. You think big money when you think of man, right?
Right. Like, that's not, he don't fuck around.
Well, maybe not so much since he put out the network. Apparently he hasn't been doing too great.
Which is, the only reason that's not all good is because he didn't put it out everywhere else.
And you know what? I believe he's actually a genius. Because much like radio, which is falling away to what we're doing right now, podcasting, McMahon knows the future of broadcasting is not going to be cable television. It's going to be streamed media.
Yep.
Right? So I think McMahon is actually very, very, very intelligent. But if that doesn't happen, and they do leave the market of cable television, long live TNA, you now have a chance to take over, and you might actually do it with your horrible storylines.
Now, their TV's been good recently.
Last month or so, I must admit, I do not watch wrestling as much as I used to. I'm a little too busy listening for electronic voice phenomena and ghost hunting and stuff like that. But I will say this, I'd rather watch a horrible Jeff Hardy gimmick any day over that foolish, foolish man, Zach Baggins, running around pretending like he's possessed. How do you feel about that? Another thing, too, that really struck me about the Warrior on his way out, so to speak, the way he cut his promo was very, well, un-Warrior-like. For starters, he cut it by himself. I don't remember very many promos where he'd just be by himself alone. Usually he'd have somebody, so to speak, in there with them, kind of interviewing them, which I thought was kind of different. He also gestured to the crowd very few times. When he did gesture, the crowd popped. He tried to use his words more than his body language, and his body language to me seemed like, hey, this is serious stuff, I want you to listen. You know, as a worker, for all you people out there who are not gigantic marks like myself, who does not know what that means, it means that you are physically, mentally devoted to your craft, which is professional wrestling. You know yourself, the moment that you're over the top in the ring, people react. If you do it too often, they stop reacting. It's every now and then when you react and do a little something that they go crazy. Most of that conversation he had, he was standing with the mic in his hand, and his body language was actually quite calm, which is very strange for Warrior, who's such an energetic entity. My thought is, perhaps he was trying to get people to listen a little more than usual. Do you think that maybe the Warrior did know, though? Did he know that his time was coming, or perhaps that it was coming soon, maybe sooner than later?
I always questioned when he got in the ring that night and he went to do the ropes, and he just didn't shake him the same. There was something, like, yeah, I get being in a suit, but you're just shaking the ropes, right? But yeah, he went to do it, he just, there might have been one or two and it wasn't that full thing, and like, sweating as much as he was, he had to have known something was wrong. Mm-hmm. Something like, there's a man that, yeah, like steroids back in the 80s, but like, he still kept himself in decent shape.
That's right.
Like, he knew something was wrong.
Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, you know, you mentioned the suit. I think it might have been the first time I've ever seen the Warrior in a suit, too. That was pretty paranormal itself, but you're right. When he grabbed those ropes, he just did not seem like he had a whole lot of strength. Which begs the next question. Could this have been a last-ditch effort by himself to speak to his fans one last time? To say he's sorry, basically, and goodbye. I think of a lot of people we've all had in our lives who have passed away. Some suddenly, and some who maybe had a little bit more of a dragged out kind of death, so to speak. Maybe they were sick with cancer or whatnot. And they do tend to want to say goodbye in a certain way. You know, here's a chance for him to say goodbye on the grandest stage ever. The Raw after WrestleMania, for a lot of people, is not as watched as much as WrestleMania, but it's PVR'd more than WrestleMania.
It is. It is indeed. That's always a big, that's just as big on WrestleMania weekend now we're past over here.
Yep.
And you're gonna have, yeah, I would say more people watch Raw the next night than they would WrestleMania because they're gonna want to shell out the money.
So if I was gonna die and I wanted to connect with the most people possible, would I not go to the grandest stage I can get on and say goodbye? As a performer, or should say ex-performer, I do know saying goodbye means a whole lot. But in the world of professional wrestling, goodbyes are a dime a dozen. People come back all the time. I would have to believe that McMahon thought he would make more money off the Ultimate Warrior by having him back in that ring and saying goodbye, kind of like Ric Flair. Now, mind you, Ric is still working and better than most of the guys in WWE right now. God bless his soul. But the reality of it is they want longevity in their workers, right? And when I see the Ultimate Warrior come back, McMahon must have been seeing dollar signs knowing that he could have sold a few more of those Warrior masks would have been nice. So I have a hard time believing that he knew that death was down the door. And if he did know, perhaps he kayfabed it, which is another wrestling term, which means he kept it kind of secret. And maybe, just maybe, he pulled the wool over everyone's eyes. What a work.
Last thing going out was to prove the boys he could actually work.
Yeah. Now, wouldn't that be something? He finally outdid Hogan.
I don't know. Hogan's not dead yet, see?
Yeah. Well.
You wait for Hogan's dead. We'll see how Hogan does it.
We'll give him enough time. Why don't you read, actually, a little bit of the quotes there, in particular, the first little tiny bit, where he actually talks about his heart stopped beating, actually. Let's actually relive that for a second.
No WWE talent becomes a legend on their own. Every man's heart one day beats its final beat. His lungs breathe a final breath. And if what that man did in his life makes his blood pulse through the body of others and makes them bleed deeper and sometimes larger than life, then his essence, his spirit, will be immortalized.
Wow. So think about that. That, my friend, sounds like something they should read at his funeral, right? You gotta wonder.
One time he gives a coherent promo, he knew.
So either this is paranormal synchronicity, or the Ultimate Warrior totally pulled one over everyone's eyes. I gotta believe it. Either way, it's paranormal, if you ask me.
Yeah. The fact that he can finally work, there's some special entity working there.
Okay. Now here comes my fun part, being into the paranormal as much as I am, and I believe that everyone I know has a story. Now, I actually walked down here, I'm actually in Ryan's house right now, if anybody wants to know. I walked in, and Ryan actually handed me this very bizarre idol-looking thing. It says Veradero Cuba on it, and he said to me, Johnny, I think this might be haunted. So I'm going to go ahead and let him tell the story about this thing here now, because this is the Odd the Newfoundland. We got to stay on the odd topics, and take it away. Tell me, what the heck is this thing besides a future bumper sticker for my wife's car?
So I move into a place on Campbell Avenue here in St. John's, Newfoundland. And when we get there, just weird stuff just started happening. We're drinking one night. Everybody's doing shots. We laid a shot glass on the coffee table, and I'd say the shot glass slid a good foot and a half, just from one spot to another, and we look down and watch it move. And first time I told somebody this, the response of, well, there's definitely water on it to slide it.
Well, I tell you what, if I was a ghost, now you know as well as I do, I love Jamaican rum. And one of the things I love more than anything is Old Sam. It's my favorite drink, always has been, ever since I was a teenager. Probably because I used to rob it on my dad's liquor cob and pat it when I was a kid. I kind of developed a taste for it. But if I was a ghost, I'd probably want to take that shot.
If you were a ghost, oh yeah. But everybody just said, oh, it was definitely condensation on the shot glass with water, that's why it slid. No. And my girlfriend was there with me, Allison, at the time. She can attest, we watched it with no water condensing, just go slide. So that was freaky. So we paid no heed or attention to it. Me and two friends of mine were at the house one night. We hear our front door open. When we get in our house, there's a front door, and then you walk up, say, about 16 stairs. Turn, walk up three stairs, and a little landing to a door. So we hear our front door open. Somebody clearly walks up all those stairs and opens the door up to come into the apartment. We hear nobody. Well, why is the door open? One gets up, my friend cousin, he walks over to the door, doesn't see nobody, and then continues to walk down the stairs. We're like, what the hell? Because we hear somebody going back down over the stairs. While me and my friend Tank go to the window to look out the window to see if somebody comes out your door to see who it was. He made it down, he sees the door shut, we hear the door shut and see nothing. Nobody came out through that door, and he went down the stairs and he did not see anybody open or shut that door. But we clearly heard the door open shut twice and somebody walking up the stairs.
Now, as a paranormal investigator, I'm so happy I have this idol in my hands right now, because I feel like I've gotten a great present and a great story from Mr. Ryan here.
And the story continues. We move from Campbell Avenue and then go to our new house on Casey Street, and more weird stuff starts happening. The ghost, apparently, as Johnny put it when we talked about this earlier, is fatty and he don't like exercise. Because it didn't like the Wii Fit board we had and we always knocked it off.
Now, to be honest, not many people I know like Wii Fit. Come on. Video games are supposed to be fun, not, Good for you.
The ghost used to tickle the girlfriend while we were trying to go to sleep. That was a legitimate thing, too. And
no, come on now, Buck. Swear, now you know I'm starting to think this
I swear to God, it used to be lying down, and she'd be like, stop it. What are you talking about? The ghost is tickling my again. Like, this happened, like, and if it happened once, okay, fine, but this used to happen weekly when we'd go to bed. And that was at the old house in Camelot, and then when we moved to Casey Street, like, it was weird. And the last thing is the TV we have upstairs, because it hasn't done it since we moved into this house, but all the other houses we were at, this was out and portrayed.
So what you're telling me tonight, when I go home, I should probably sleep with a butt plug in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to every other night. It's just, you know, just anal beads.
It would be so funny if that ghost tickled your night. Or your missus is.
Oh, God. Well, we're not going to get into that. I don't want to get in trouble for this podcast. Like, God knows I'll get in trouble for everything else. But I will say this. You know, sometimes spirits do attach to objects. It does happen. And, you know, I've been involved a few times with certain things I've investigated. And there has been certain monuments, objects, and stuff like that that do seem to hold that energy, spiritual energy. But by the sounds of things, you got a playful spirit. Doesn't sound to me like you got something really bad. So I'll take this little idol off your hand and let you know how things go, okay?
Yeah, and we always question that too. Every time. Like, to be honest, this stuff really, I'm really interested in this stuff. Not a lot of things I take an interest in. I see ghost shows on TV or hear ghost stories or found out you were doing this. I got really interested because I like this stuff. And if I don't know something, I like to learn about it. Because there is things out there that, well, there's got to be some explanation for it. And like, the things I've experienced.
Did you listen to my original podcast? How I talked about my father and how he is still cancer free now. He's beaten a terminal liver cancer from prayer. Mm. And you know, to me, to each their own. I'm not religious in the least, but I'm very spiritual. And that was enough to open the door for me to go out and hunt. Let me tell you, I've caught many crazy examples of ghostly activity all over St. John's. And I'm willing to bet that St. John's is probably one of the most haunted places in the world because A, it's surrounded by water. We've got the right composition of rocks here. We've got a very, very old, the oldest city in North America. A lot better place for a good old-fashioned ghost hunt. Oh, and, you know, Ron, you ever want to come out and we go for a ghost hunt, man, I'd love to do it.
I'm down for it.
And to be honest with you, in the near future, Life at the Death Society are planning, which is my team, we're actually planning an open ghost hunt. And it's going to be a cancer benefit. So we're actually going to try to get a place, a location, invite a lot of people to it. And the more semi and quasi-celebrities we have there, the merrier.
Modern celebrity. Love it.
Hey, man, it's an honor to be a modern celebrity. Mm-hmm. it's when you're not a celebrity anymore. That's the problem. But, yeah, no, absolutely. There's a lot of the world out there to explore, man. And the realm of the paranormal, I think it interests me a lot because it does coincide with wrestling quite a bit.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that earlier, you know. It's a fringe type thing, close-knit groups of people out doing it. People think they know what's up, but nobody really knows what's up. Even the workers like us who have an idea of how things work behind the scenes are still pretty much clueless when they turn on that TV and the tap the phone of it, right?
Yep.
Absolutely. You know, anything else you want to add that might be a little on the paranormal side before we go on?
Yeah.
With our busy lives?
The first thing that I was ever told that made me believe in ghosts was I may have been 7 or 8. And my aunt always told me about, we live in where our house was in Bay Bulls. It was our house and then a half a house is built down there. That was where my aunt and my uncle lived in. And my nan lived with us, so it was kind of just a center stone. And at the bottom of the hill was one of her friends, and her husband used to live there. Mm-hmm. Here goes, the husband died on the friend. And while nan and grandfather were still alive both, my aunt used to look out the window, and when she looked down at her, my aunt's friend's house, there was always, the husband was stood in the window for one night. And to stand in that window for one night, if anybody had to walk past you, like, they weren't going, it was only a small little thing, so you would clearly see what was there. For 3 or 4 straight nights, she'd look out the window and I hadn't seen it. Then when my grandfather passes away, she looks out the window next night, and he wasn't there anymore. He was waiting for his friend.
Wow. All right.
So ever since I heard that, that's what got me, like, yeah, okay, that's what's cool.
And you know what? people will look you in the face and say wrestling's fake until they get in the ring and take a beating. Like, I think of some of the beatings we used to get when we were youngsters. Good Lord, man. Come on. I still can't hear it in my left ear. But, like anything, you gotta kind of have your own experience to really delve into it, right? It's interesting too, right now I got a book right now in the publishing, we'll say zone, with Engine Books, called New PvP, which is an actual study of electronic voice phenomena all across Newfoundland. And it's about a 200 pager. It's gonna be full of some really, really cool stories in there, and you basically get to come along with me through the pages, which is gonna be awesome. Another reason why I wanted to do the podcast is someday maybe have a fan base to sell the book to, which would be nice.
Someone's going
but, to But, you know, I am looking right now for different places to investigate and different people to go out with. And the reason why I want to do that is because I want everyone to experience that. The thrill of going out there and actually finding something you can't explain. And lucky for you, I actually got a lot of that right here on the old laptop.
That's cool.
Yeah. How do you feel about maybe listening to a few ghosties?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What do you want to hear? You want to hear something really, really freaky?
Oh, it's freaky.
You want to hear something like maybe Ghost Box? Are you familiar with what Sweep Radio does?
No.
Sweep Radio is basically a broken Radio Shack radio. And it sweeps through multiple stations. We're talking probably 350 stations a minute. So it's really, really fast.
Yeah.
If it sweeps over, say, K-Rock, you might hear bleep, and then we'll go on to the next thing. So the idea is that you communicate with this, with the spirit world, and you actually hear back certain things. Pretty neat, eh?
Yeah.
Then you have your, that's called the ghost box. You get EVP that way. Now, it's not true EVP. True EVP is just your recorder left alone or during a question session you get voices. Now, I got many examples of both right here on the old computer. And, maybe what I'll do is I'll take a little break and I'll give you a chance to listen to a few of them.
Yeah.
And we'll come back and maybe, you tell people what you think.
Yeah, I'll know that.
Hey guys, you want to check out the electronic voice phenomena examples I'm showing Ryan right now? You can always check us out on YouTube. Look up Life After Death Society Presents, Cape Spear.
The Life After Death Society, Newfoundland's only source of professional paranormal investigations.
And now, back to the show.
Alright, away we go again. So I just let Buckmaster Gotch there have a little listen to some of the stuff I caught down in good old Cape Spear, which is somewhere I've investigated a total of 17 times, and counting, I might add. What'd you think of some of the stuff I caught, Ryan?
That was cool.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Really weird?
Yeah.
One thing I will say, though, is I always love to see people's reactions. It's one of the reasons why I do this. It takes me back to the wrestling days, when people finally can suspend their disbelief even for a few minutes, and just maybe live in a different world there for a minute or two. I find too, like when I'm out doing these investigations, it's very calming because I'm not in front of a crowd. I haven't got that anxiety. But it sure is nice to speak to a crowd every now and then. At Sci-Fi and The Rock this year, I actually had a chance to speak with Electronic Voice Phenomena, and there were so many people at the door to get in to see me and my partner Rob, that they had to turn people away. It was pretty cool, and it brought me back a little way. And, you know, I feel in my heart that I'm where I'm supposed to be right now. I will say this, though. If you ever want to take a night, you and the missus, because she's been rather quiet here the whole time. She's been in the room with us. Yes, she has. And the dog, too. You too, buddy. If you guys ever want to come with me down to good old Cape Spear, or anywhere else you might think might be haunted, and you want to try a little ghost hunting, I'd be more than willing to take you guys. How's that sound?
All right.
Yeah.
You'd have been done to do it. That'd be cool, too. Well, I guess we're going to say goodbye to you now, my friend. We got lives. We got stuff to do.
Oh, yeah.
I got a kid and stuff now.
Yeah, I got a dog.
You got a dog? Time for Ryan to plug his upcoming event.
August 28th, COB. CW Homecoming. Tag Team Arcadia 2. The main event is slated to be Devon Dudley and Don Martini versus Alexander and Bray Guthrie versus Scott and Buckmaster Gotch in a three-way tables match for the East Coast Tag Team Championships. Justin Locke, the brand new Newfoundland Heritage Champion, is also scheduled to appear to defend his title. Also, there is a Newfoundland Pro Wrestling show September 10th. With Al Snow out in the Paradise Community Center. Both shows are $15. I do believe both shows have meet and greets. I'm not sure about the NBW one. I know the CW one does. Yeah, come on, enjoy some good whole, wholesome family values.
Yeah, right. There's gonna be tables, man!
Everybody's gonna want them.
Gotta love it, man. Can't believe Devon Dudley is still at it, hey?
He's huge, right?
Right. Like, man, this guy's massive.
Go watch the August 7th edition of TNA Impact. Bubba Ray Dudley powerbombs Dixie Carter off the second row through a table.
And we all just love seeing Dixie Carter do anything besides sit in the crowd.
Oh, dude, go through a table? Yeah. All people clamor out there for months.
Oh, I love it. Anyway, hopefully we'll get a chance to sit down again sometime, Ryan.
Yes, sir.
And maybe we'll get a chance to get some more of the other wrestlers in here as well.
Yeah.
Because I hear there's, I actually hear there's some old ghost stories surrounding a certain Mr. Ed Sailor White. And to be quite honest with you, I smell Halloween special coming up very, very soon. So you never know, my friend. You never know.
Yeah, Pedro might know some of them.
Maybe he does. Guys, it's been a blast with you, Ryan. And I'm going to say goodbye to you. Let you get back to the gym. Let you get back to the diet. Let you get back to eating nothing but the finest Iowa cabbage. And you have yourself a great day.
Thanks, sir.
And with that, I do say goodbye. I look forward to talking with you once again. From the oldest city in North America, I bid you adieu. From the Odds of Newfoundland Paranormal Podcast.